In the name of the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit, and I'd like to welcome you all to our Perseverance Family Conversation. And as always, it's great to be with all of you. And as we start off, we'd like to invite Mary to be with us. Mary is the Mother of God. Mary is the mother of the church, and Mary is the mother of each and every one of us. We also call out to Mary as our life, our sweetness, and our hope. Our life, our sweetness, and our hope. So let's pray the prayer that Mary loves most, and that prayer is the Hail Mary, also known as the Angelic Salutation. And ask Mary to bless us as we draw closer to Holy Week, which will be next Sunday. So, my friends, let's pray the Hail Mary together. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Now we'd like to invite to be with us, my friends, our spiritual director, and our spiritual director. Is the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit has many wonderful, wonderful titles. Holy Spirit is known as the Paraclete. Holy Spirit is also known as the Gift of Gifts. Holy Spirit is also known as the sweet guest of the soul. Holy Spirit is also known as the interior master. Holy Spirit is also known as our consoler, as well as our counselor. And St. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, reminds us in these words. St. Paul says, we really don't know how to pray as we ought. But the Holy Spirit, intercedes with ineffable groans so that we can say, Abba. Abba, which means daddy or father. So let's beg the Holy Spirit to come to be with us and to give us a lot of light. A lot of light in our intellect and the fire of divine love to burn within the very depths of our hearts. As we say, come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and enkindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. And thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us that by the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Well, Lady Fatima, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Michael the Archangel, pray for us. Saint Gabriel, pray for us. Saint Raphael, pray for us. Saint Patrick, pray for us. Saint Maria Faustina Kowalska, pray for us. All God's angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. How true it is, my friends, the family that prays together stays together. And a world at prayer is a world at peace. After having prayed with you, I promise that I'll be praying for you. In the greatest of all prayers, I'll be praying for all of you in the holy sacrifice of the Mass, which is the prayer par excellence, the very heart of the Lord's Day, Sunday, is the holy sacrifice of the Mass. We should be very grateful, very thankful for the holy sacrifice of the Mass that is the very heart of our Catholic faith. So I'll be praying for all of us that we would be open to the workings and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Perhaps this can be our prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come through the heart of Mary. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come through the heart of Mary. My second intention, I'd like to pray for our families. For the conversion of our families, for the sanctification of our families, and for the salvation of our families. That's right, for the conversion of our families, for the sanctification of our families, and for the salvation of our families. Jesus says, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world? And loses his soul. What does it profit man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? So to pray that our family members would have this encounter with Christ. My last intention will be, as always I like to pray in a special way, in a special way for those who will be dying sometime today. Of course, the moment of our death is the most important moment in the life of each and every one of us. To pray for those who are dying, but also pray for us that we would have a holy and happy death. Amen. So my friends, as always, we have a lot to cover. So I thought that it would be opportune today just to show you where we're at, and then I'd like to talk briefly about the saint we celebrate today. I'd like to pray, talk a lot about the gospel. So let's enter into our conversation. So my friends, we entered into Lent, February 14th, with Ash Wednesday. And today we're into the fifth Sunday of Lent. We're heading toward the latter part of Lent. Next Sunday, just to prepare you, we enter into Holy Week with the celebration of Palm Sunday. You'll be getting your palm branch. Palm Sunday. Now once we enter the Holy Week, the very heart of Holy Week, my friends, is what is called the Easter Triduum. The Easter Triduum refers to the 3 days of preparation for the celebration of Easter. The Easter Triduum, my friends, would be Holy Thursday, Good Friday, Holy Saturday, and then 2 weeks from today we celebrate the Solemnity of All Solemnities, and that would be the Solemnity of Easter, the Resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ from the dead. So there we have a kind of a brief synopsis or summary where we're at right now. That being the case, if we haven't been generous with the Lord in this Lent, it's not too late. It really isn't. We still have 2 weeks, so let's, in these 2 weeks, try to be very generous with God. And you might call to mind the three-dimensional way in which we can live out Lent that I've mentioned many times, to go up, to go in, and to go out. To go up, to go in, and to go out. What does that mean, go up, to go in, and to go out? We go up through prayer. We go in through penance and fasting. We go out through almsgiving or charity. Suggestion. Go up. Maybe you can try to go to Mass every day, because Mass is the greatest of all prayers. Go in, perhaps, to purify hearts by good sacramental confession. Go out, perhaps try to be kind and patient and merciful toward the people in your families. Those are 3 suggestions. So we can live out the latter part of Lent in a very efficacious way. So my friends, I thought it would be just opportune to mention briefly the saint that we celebrate today, and it's a very famous and loved saint. And the name of the saint is Saint Patrick. So I'd like to just say a few words on Saint Patrick, and then we'll go to the Gospel, where the Greeks approach Andrew and Philip and say, "We would like to see the Lord. We want to see Jesus." We'll talk about that. We want to see Jesus. It's a good pursuit. We should want to see Jesus too. Want to see Jesus. We want to see Jesus. So let's talk about St. Patrick, just an overview. He was born around the year 389. This may surprise you that St. Patrick was not born in Ireland. Basically born in England. As a youngster, he wasn't really interested in religion that much, as in the case with many teenagers. He wanted a life of fame, and something happened in his life that radically changed his life. He was kidnapped by pirates, and he was taken to Ireland. He was there for several years. 7 or 8 years he was in Ireland. While he was there, he was a shepherd, watching over sheep, suffering cold and hunger. But he was in silence. In silence, he had time to reflect upon his life. My friends, how important is silence in our lives so we can reflect upon our own lives, making a good examination of conscience, seeing where we're heading, see if we're heading in the right direction. But Patrick got tired of that lifestyle. So he decided he was going to go back to England. So he was able to jump on a German ship, paid his way by watching over a pack of dogs, and he disembarked and returns to Ireland. When he's in Ireland, he's inspired to become a priest. So he's ordained a priest in Ireland. I'm sorry, in England. He's ordained a priest in England. And he's working there for quite a few years in a parish. He has a dream in which he hears the Irish people come back to evangelize us. So the bishop dies and the Holy Father decides to consecrate him as a bishop, even though he doesn't have too much formal education. So he's consecrated bishop, and he returns to Ireland. While there, he's preaching, he's evangelizing, he's converting many souls. And he sets up monastery systems where monks and nuns can pray. And the faith of the Irish people grows by leaps and bounds. And he spends the rest of his life there. He had to fight against witchcraft and sorcery and paganism. But he was able to overcome. Paganism and Christianity, Catholicism, was deeply rooted in the Irish soil. Often what is attributed to Patrick, some say it was maybe a legend. However, one of the most beautiful legends is that St. Patrick wanted to explain the mystery of the Blessed Trinity to the people. Many of the people there were illiterate, uneducated. So Patrick takes a shamrock and he takes a three-leaf clover and he shows this to the people. That here you have a three-leaf clover, there are three different leaves, but there's just one clover. So it is with us as Catholics. We believe that there is one God, but there are three separate persons in God, and that we call the Trinity. We believe in the Trinity. We believe in one God and three persons. So every time we make the sign of the cross, every time we make the sign of the cross in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So every time we make that sign of the cross, we're proclaiming that we believe in one God and three separate persons, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. So Saint Patrick became the famous missionary to Ireland, was instrument in the conversion of the Irish people. One last idea on St. Patrick and him being a missionary. The two greatest missionaries we had last century would be Pope St. John Paul II. Pope St. John Paul II. And then we have Mother Teresa of Calcutta, who founded the Missionaries of Charity. Pope John Paul II challenges all of us to be missionaries. From baptism, we're called to be priests, prophets, and kings. John Paul II also says that the best missionary territories in the world are the big cities. New York, Tokyo, Buenos Aires, Rome, Paris, Chicago, Santiago, Madrid. These are big cities. In these big cities, you have a lot of souls. So let's stop and ask ourselves, in honor of the great Saint Patrick, how can I be a missionary right now. Let's pray to St. Patrick that all of us in our this perseverance family, that all of us would strive, we would make a concerted effort to be a missionary. The harvest is rich and the laborers are few. Years ago, before the pandemic, I went out with a missionary group of people, and we basically knocked on doors, inviting many people to come back to the practice of the faith. Very, very successful. We would knock on doors and people would receive us in. We'd pray the rosary. I would go into the garage, hear confessions. We'd check out to see if the children were baptized, if they made their first communion or confirmation. Were they married yet in the church? And many graces flowed from us visiting the homes in the parish. You know, the Jehovah's Witnesses do it and the Mormons do it. Why not us? I'd like to tell you an experience that I had. It was right around, I'd say probably about 11 o'clock in the morning. I was there with my missionary group and we bumped into two young men. They were tall, blonde hair, blue eyes. They had a white shirt on and a tie. They were mounted on bikes. You probably know who these were. These were Mormon missionaries. These were Mormon missionaries. So I stopped for a couple of minutes just to talk with them. They're in the very heart of Hawaiian Gardens, which is mostly Mexican descent, the people of Hawaiian Gardens. But these young men, they spoke, sounded like an impeccable Spanish. They asked them, what happened? They went down to South America to learn how to speak Spanish to convert the Mexicans to their Mormon faith. I was astounded. They're probably in their 20s. But they went down to South America to convert the Mexicans, so that the Mexicans would become Mormons. And sad to say, my friends, this is the reality, that most Jehovah Witnesses, they used to be Catholics. Most of the Mormons, they used to be Catholics. So in honor of St. Patrick, the great missionary to Ireland, talking about missionary activity, the biggest religious group in our country right now are non-practicing Catholics. That's right, the biggest religious group in our country are non-practicing Catholics. non-practicing Catholics. So in your missionary work, most likely all of you have some family member or some colleague or some friend or some associate that no longer practices his Catholic faith. Why not on your part, why not invite him or her to come back to the practice of the faith for Holy Week or for Easter? All right. So my friends, we're all called to be missionaries. Last words that Jesus says in Matthew chapter 28, go out to the whole world, teach them all I taught, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. And behold, I'll be with you always, even until the very end of the world. That's a missionary mandate. A missionary mandate. So let's go to the gospel. You know, we see in the person of St. Andrew, the brother of St. Peter, talking about this missionary impulse. He said, Andrew we see him in John chapter 1. He's being formed by John the Baptist. So Andrew and John, the evangelist, are standing next to John the Baptist, and Jesus is walking. And John the Baptist says, behold the Lamb of God, behold him who takes away the sins of the world. So, Andrew what does he do? Andrew follows Jesus with John the evangelist. They spend the whole day with Jesus. They wanted to see Jesus. They wanted to be with him. And we should pray for that grace. So we want to see Jesus. We want to be with him. We want to spend time with him in this life as well as for all eternity. So look at Andrew. Andrew, the gospel today, and Andrew in John chapter 1. Andrew is so enthusiastic that he saw Jesus, he spent the afternoon with Jesus, that he could not keep it to himself. He could not keep it to himself. He wanted to share this good news. So he goes to his brother Simon Peter. He says, look, we found the Messiah. So he brings Peter to Jesus, and Jesus says, you are Simon Rock. So Andrew is bringing. Then we have Andrew bringing the boy with the loaves and the fish to Jesus when they ran out of food. And now we have Andrew and Philip bringing the Greeks to Jesus. So let's stop and ask ourselves, in honor of St. Patrick, in honor of St. Andrew, in honor of St. John Paul II, in honor of Mother Teresa, how can I, what are ways in which I can bring people to Christ? Repeat, what are ways in which I can bring people to Christ? What are ways which I can bring people to Christ? Ways in which I can be a modern missionary. So the big question today, the Greeks say, we want to see Jesus. We want to get to know Jesus. So I'd like to present to you, and our secretary Sophie can help us out. I'd like to present today five ways that we can get to know Jesus. So Sophie can get her pen ready. In honor of the gospel today, what are ways? Five ways in which we can get to know Jesus. St. Ignatius gives us the wonderful grace. We beg for intimate knowledge of Jesus, that we love him more ardently and we can follow him more closely. So the first way that we can get to know Jesus, my friends, is by reading and meditating upon the Gospels. That's right. Reading and meditating upon the Gospels. The word Gospel means good news. Reading and meditating upon the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. What a privilege it is that we today, we can read and we have access to the Gospels, a hard copy or even online. So that would be the first way, and it would be through reading and meditating upon the Gospels. The second would be through prayer. What is prayer? Prayer can be defined as a conversation with the Lord Jesus Christ. We can talk with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ any time, any place, and we can use whatever words we want. Our Lord is not selective. So through prayer. To remember our dynamic, our three-dimensional dynamic, go up, go in, go up. So going up is through prayer. third way in which we can get to know Jesus, to love Him more ardently, and to follow Him more closely, is by getting the habit of making Eucharistic visits. That's right, by making Eucharistic visits, visiting our Lord in the church, visiting Him in the Blessed Sacrament. Greeks said we would like to see Jesus. We're talking about how we can get to see Jesus, know Jesus, love Jesus in our lives. That's the most important thing in the world. Remember as a child the short poem that Mom taught us. Whenever I see a church, I stop to make a visit so that when I die, the Lord will not say, who is it? It's a good one, isn't it? Whenever I see a church, I stop to make the visit. So when I die, the Lord will not say, who is it? As friends, they like to stop to visit each other. So we want Jesus to be our best friend. In Spanish, you have el amigo que nunca falla. He's the friend that will never fail us. But He's a friend that will never fail us. Whenever I see a church, I stop to make a visit. So when I die, the Lord will not say, who is it? So that would be the third way in which we can, like the Greeks, we want to see Jesus. Fourth is even more intimate. Is not only to visit Jesus, but this is the greatest, my friends, to go to church, but to participate in the holy sacrifice of the Mass. The holy sacrifice of the Mass. And is the documents of the Second Vatican Council, Sacrosanctu Concilium, points out, we should try to participate in Mass fully, actively, and consciously. So we don't want to be caliente bancas. We don't want to be bench warmers. We want to participate fully, actively, and consciously in the holy sacrifice of the Mass. And, of course, to receive the Eucharist. The greatest gesture we can do on planet Earth, my friends, this side of heaven, is to receive our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the Most Holy Eucharist, receiving the body, the blood, the soul, the divinity of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Nothing greater than that. So not only do we visit Jesus, as did Andrew and John, as were the Greeks, they wanted to visit and talk with Jesus. Not simply visit, but to welcome Him, welcome the Lord into your home. As Mary and Martha welcomed Jesus into their home in Bethany, we want to welcome Jesus into the very depths of our hearts every time we go to the holy sacrifice of the Mass. So we welcome the Lord warmly into our homes, our hearts, our souls. Then, another way that we can get to know and to love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ would be by means of drawing close to His best friends. By drawing close to His best friends. Who are the best friends of Jesus? Well, the angels in heaven, the saints in heaven, Saint Patrick, who we honor today. But we'd have to say this. Good Saint Joseph, who we celebrate on Tuesday. We're preparing for the solemnity of the good Saint Joseph, who's the greatest of all saints. But I'd be remiss if I didn't say this. We really want to get to know and love Jesus Christ. Let us go to Mary. Mary is the greatest. And as Saint Luis Maria Grignon de Montfort has pointed out, Saint Luis Maria Grignon de Montfort has pointed out that the quickest, shortest, most efficacious way to the heart of Jesus is through Mary. Indeed, Mary is the shortcut. Mary is the shortcut to arrive at the very heart of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So my friends, the Greeks said, we want to see Jesus. So I thank Sophie for her secretarial work today, having posted the five different ways in which we can get to know Jesus Christ. Through reading and meditating upon the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Through prayer, conversation with Christ. Through making Eucharistic visits, whenever I see a church, I stop to make a visit so that when I die, the Lord will not say, who is it? By receiving Jesus Christ into our homes, our hearts in Holy Communion. And last is by getting to know the friends of Jesus Christ. And they would be the angels, the saints, good Saint Joseph, and of course the one that's closest to Jesus would be the Blessed Virgin Mary. So my friends, invite all of you to share our conversation with many of your friends. So you can be great missionaries by sharing our message to many friends. And I'd like to impart my priestly blessing upon all of us that we would become great missionaries, like St. Patrick and like Andrew, like John Paul II, like Mother Teresa. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. God bless all of you today.